Welcome to the Drama Free Podcast. Save the drama for your mama.
Good evening, Drama Free Beer Radio listeners. We have a wonderful show for tonight. I'd like to thank you all in advance for listening to us. And as always, my name is Chad Stevenson. We've got my co-host here, Joey Hamilton, Chris Butler, and Steve Aspara. And Steve is going to take it today, so I'll hand it over to him. Steve?
What's up, everyone? We need to do one of those intros. We're going to get one soon. And thanks for having me back after my absence last week. You guys did. I want to talk about last week because I listened to it the next day. I had Devils tickets. They lost, of course, because every time I go to a game, they like to lose. But I was bummed that I missed the interview, and then I was really excited to listen to it. You guys did a killer job, so kudos to all of you talking to besides Kirby, I guess our second really big head brewer guest. I've never had a narrow gauge beer, but you guys seem to love it. It was a good draw. I think you guys did a good job. So
thank you.
Round of applause to everyone from New Jersey.
That was some low-key Griffin you just did.
Yeah, low-key. what's everyone drinking? I'll start. I'm drinking a beer that I got in the mail today from Joey. Strange Claw, Cerebral Brewing. This is also my first Cerebral beer. I see you posting them a lot. Anytime someone asks you about Denver, you always suggest them, right?
That is correct. It is my favorite Denver brewery.
That's saying something, because Denver has a lot, and I've been to a lot in Denver, and this is actually really good. I just had my first sip, and big fan. 6.2, really soft, really light, but still hoppy and juicy and punchy, and I like it. What are you drinking, Chad?
I'm still drinking the beer that I cracked in the pre-podcast roll call that I threw up there. All y'all from Prairie Artisan Ales. Pretty damn good. I'm digging it. My wife actually also had a pour, and she really liked it, and putting out some good stuff. I had a friend come back from there this week and dropped it off to me at lunch yesterday, so was excited to try it. I was glad I got to get something other than a stout from them.
Nice. I love the name, too, All Y'all. It's like, I can't believe no other Southern brewery had named a beer that yet. Joey,
perfect. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. Joey is driving right now, so we don't suggest that he be drinking. So, Chris, what do you got? I know you got something a little special.
Yeah. Well, I'm sticking with my my tradition of opening up something a little goofy for the first beer to kick off the podcast. A couple weeks ago, it was wine. A couple weeks before that, it was coconut stout. And tonight, I'm drinking what cost me $1.09 from the store I was at that. It is a Darty Peach Tea Wine Specialty Cocktail. And I'll post that on the thread in Drama Free, just in case you guys don't believe I'm drinking this. But torturing myself.
Nice. Sounds good. Let's all cheers to that. So let's all just have a quick cheers. And Joey, your air cheers until you get set. So I brought up last week's episode, and it was good. You guys interviewed Jeff Hardesty of Narrow Gauge. And I guess a couple days later, The Full Pint, which is a beer blogging site or news, I don't really want to say like journalists and news, whatever, but a beer blog. They ran a contest for best IPAs, and Narrow Gauge was nominated, and Narrow Gauge ended up winning. And apparently they won by so much. They beat like Treehouse and Trillium. They beat all these breweries by so much that the blog assumed that there was bots involved. Like people hacked the contest to make Narrow Gauge win, because I don't know, I guess they liked them that much. They wanted to hack them to make sure they won. Why people would do that, I don't know, but the Full Pint tweeted out something pretty much saying that the contest was rigged, and Full Pint, even though they said, oh, you know, it's nothing against you guys, but it was hacked. Yeah, it kind of made some ripples because, I don't know how you can even prove there's bots, but what do you guys think? You guys talked to him last week. How do you think Jeff took it? I saw he responded. He said, you know, kind of messed up of you to just assume that we didn't win on our own. But, yeah, what do you guys just talk about what you thought when you saw the news, especially after talking to him last week? Chad, what do you think?
You know, I was pretty taken aback. I mean, Full Pint definitely showed their – not even really by their first comment, which should have never been made on Twitter. The comments and responses to people that were, you know, to that original tweet were pretty atrocious as well. They didn't get mean or anything, but they were just – I mean, they showed that they're – you know, to me it appeared that they're just some frat boy – you know, little page or paper, or I don't even know, not journalism, because that definitely wasn't journalism. You know, the comments and replies that they were doing, replying to people, was pretty, you know, low for, you know, and a beer site in general. And, you know, I had read a few things from them before and, you know, liked what I saw on some of the content, but I won't go and, you know, I won't read anything from them anymore or participate in any discussions that they have.
No, all right. Chris, did you think the same thing? Was this made out to be a bigger deal than it was? Did they get it right?
They certainly didn't get it right. But if you've had a narrow gauge brew, you know they're just as good as any other big boys. And St. Louis has a very strong craft beer community who can, like Florida at times, be a little homeristic, deservedly so. They have better beers than Florida anyway, so shut up, Florida. yeah, I think just in today's day and age, I think sensationalist news articles are always going to draw attention and, you know, for a lot of these people, there's no such thing as bad attention, right? As long as they're getting their name out there, people are talking about Full Pint now who've never even known about Full Pint. They probably got more likes this week than they've ever had, just so people can read the next thing they put out there. Personally, having met Jeff and then talked with him last week on the show, and met him the week before, I think, you know, he probably was a little upset, obviously. He was probably taken aback. He had every right to be upset, but I think privately and quietly, he probably was just laughing at it because he knows better. He knows he's making solid beer. And I even mentioned to him last week, and he said he's thankful that people are sending his beer out as extras when we were talking about, you know, what people do with their beer after they buy it from him. He's like, oh, yeah, people send it out as extras, and I feel really blessed. I'm like, dude, people aren't sending your beer out as extras anymore. They're asking for it.
Yeah, they're getting traded.
So I think he privately on his own just sort of chuckled to himself, laughed. I mean, anytime you can be the center of that sort of drama or controversy, you know that you're probably doing something right to get that kind of attention. So kudos to Jeff. I think he handled it well, calling them out and then just backing off and letting the beer community do what the beer community does best and lash out ridiculously with no reason.
Nice. Well, like I said, I'd never had a narrow gauge beer, so the fact that they beat out Old Nation, Treehouse, Weldworks, Trillium, Monkish, like just other half, just to name some of the ones that didn't even get close to as many votes. Joey, what was your take? Were you hung up on this, or did it kind of seem like a weird story in a week of stories?
You know, and I appreciate the fact that Butler's so so professional and so diplomatic about the whole thing. So I'll just say, the first thing that I saw was when I heard the first thing I saw was fake news, and then as I read through or kind of followed everything that was going on, I just kind of thought that it was just shit journalism. That's what it comes down to. It's just people either had the finger on the trigger or just I think it shows the full pint's colors. So that's all I really have to say about that. The only thing I'm really happy about is I'm home. I'm home. I made it through the blizzard and I have a beer, so I'm good to go.
What are you drinking?
Collaboration between Wugwort and Distill, about 85 and a 55. It's
nice.
A New England style double IPA brewed with Citro, Simcoe, El Dorado, and Idaho 7.
Nice. 85 and a 55. That sounds like it was made in Jersey.
The only way you can get the Wugwort is a drive 85 and a 55. So.
So you guys brought up two points that I want to touch on before we move on with this story, because I don't want to give it too much, you know, clout. Do you guys think that if the full pint approached it as, instead of saying narrow gauge one, but it sounds like it was hella game, I think was the quote they used, the contest was hella game. Do you think if they, when the contest was over, if they said, as of now, narrow gauge is the winner, we're going to just count the votes to make sure all the votes are legit, do you think that would have been a better way to handle it? Do you think that would have been... you know, better, Chad? Do you think that would have made a difference? Or is that, even just questioning it, is that too much?
No, I mean, you have to question it. I think they're okay with that. I mean, ultimately it's their, you know, competition and their, you know, their marketing. But I think that, yeah, I really think they could have approached it a different. And it sounds to me he didn't do any homework from the tweets that have since been deleted. You know, it looks like that there was like, one or two people that reported it to them, and then they started responding to that Twitter or that tweet before they made their own tweet. So it didn't really appear that whoever it was in Full Pint, I don't know if it's one guy or a bunch of people, that they did any homework on it. That they just said, oh, you know, this brewery has 1,000 more votes than the next winner. And it just really sounded like they were butthurt about, you know, the brewery not winning that we're winning. And that really is where the people that reported it were coming from is, oh, my brewery didn't win. I'm butthurt. Somebody must have cheated. And the Full Pint took that and ran with it without any sort of investigation.
Right. Chris, you said that this is probably just clickbait for Full Pint to get people to, you know, read the story or see what the thing was about. Do you think this helps narrow gauge at all?
Oh, of course it does. I mean, now people up in the Northeast who think they make the best IPAs that they admit in the style, now that if they haven't had it, they're like, oh, let me get some of this narrow gauge. I have to try it against my own. And inevitably, they're going to get it and rate it negatively or something like that. Just to, you know, that's what people do. They want to hype up their own area and not give props for their due. That's why it's fun to kind of send these things blind and do these things blind every once in a while. But I'm sure Narrow Gauge got a couple hundred thousand likes this week as well. Not only for people reading Full Pint, for people reading their response, people now interested in trying their beer. People are probably going to stop there in St. Louis, or not St. Louis, but Florissant when they go visit St. Louis now because they're interested. You know. No news is bad news when it comes to journalism.
Yeah.
So, I think yes, Full Pint comes out looking like a loser, but I think also, you know, secretly they're rubbing the palms together because they got more attention and more traffic on their site. They, you know, quote unquote, manned up and said, "Our bad, whatever." But you know, I don't know.
Right.
I think everyone comes out with more likes and more followers, but I think Jeff and Narrow Gauge come out looking better as a whole.
Right. Joey, Chris brought up the apology. If you go to the Full Pint site, they do have an apology on the page. They do congratulate Narrow Gauge on the win. They say, unfortunately, I took the fun out of our own post and poorly thought out comments on Twitter. We had a reader claim the large runaway seemed fishy and it was gamed without even considering that our poll was used as intended. I implied the poll was gamed. I've never tried the beer. I've never met anyone. And I had no right dismissing their enthusiastic fan base the way I did. Does the apology do it for you? Does it sound sincere? Does it
not
seem
really.
Like
I mean,
it's all good? No?
No, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure it's sincere, but I mean, when you do something like what occurred, and then you essentially kind of, you know, retract, it's honestly
sad.
I'm gonna say it's sad, but that's my personal view. But I mean, I think it's a learning. It's a learning experience. It's a time where Full Pike and actually, you know, learn from what happened. Perhaps they'll actually look into however they ran that survey or that poll, and try to figure out whether or not there was something going afoul. Anytime you run something like that, you can track IP addresses and things like that. So it should be a pretty easy confirm to figure out if there were bots or something like that. If you have, you know, a lot of similar recurring IP addresses, I think it'd be a pretty easy one to sort. Honestly, Chad's the IT guy. He's way more experienced at that than I am. The point that I wanted to add is that one perspective that you can have on this is that there's a lot of Trillium and Treehouse hype boys that probably were pissed off because someone else has a phenomenal product and was actually, you know, at least in terms of how the voting went, was voted better. And, you know, I just look at it as it's the sweet sound of all the broken ankles of people hopping off that damn hype train. Congratulations.
Right.
There's another brewery out there.
So you think someone had a trade set up and they wanted to get another can or two out of it. So they said, hey, wait a minute. There's no.
It's not $8 a can. It's now $14 a can. Let's go.
Right. Exactly. They dropped the limits now. So. All right. Well, I think that was pretty interesting at least. And I don't really have anything else to say about it other than I need to try some narrow gauge. So I don't know who's close to there, but hook up your boy. Because apparently it's the best IPA in the country, and that's something I always am interested in. All right, so this was a busy, busy news week in the beer community. Monday at, I think it was it 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Pacific? A familiar face that I'm sure everyone knows. I think he's in commercials. If not, he's all over some sort of branding or whatever. Greg, I think he pronounces it Koch. I don't think it's Coke like the guy at Sam Adams Gym. He Coke. Made this video and pretty much announced that Stone, his brewery, Big Stone Brewing Company, one of the 10 biggest in the country, is suing Miller Coors and subsequently Keystone and Keystone Light for trademark infringement. Did you guys all watch the video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I liked it. It kept me in. I watched the whole thing. As someone who does, you know, video production for a living, I appreciated it. At least it was well done. They got the slow-mo and, you know, all that stuff. They did the edit right. I'm sure didn't take many takes, but it's a pretty big deal. I don't know. Has anyone else – I don't even know if anyone else has sued another big company. Do you think they have a case, Chad?
I don't. I think they're fishing. Clearly, in the video, I watched it a few times after somebody pointed it out to me. Key is there. In the video, he did very well to cover up Key in the words Key. Granted, they are smaller than the word Stone. You know, I like what he's getting at, you know, but I don't think he has a case. I really don't. He purposely put his hand over the key wording. Stone is just, you know, I mean, back in the day when I was drinking Keystone, you know, I would say throw me a stone. I mean, it, you know, to my buddies, you know, they're not using any other Stone branding. They're not using the same font. I really think he's just going to waste a lot of money and, you know, ultimately, you know, unfortunately, the macro brewers have a lot of money. They're going to throw everything into it and could bankrupt Stone.
I disagree with that, but before I get to that, I want to Chris, do you think they got a chance?
Yep. 100%.
You do? You do. Yep. You think they're going to win?
I think it's going to get settled before it comes to that, but
we'll get to that in a minute too.
I think if you look at all the branding, they have clearly gone out of their way. Having worked in a liquor store just recently, the AB people come in, they line their products up just so, they make sure everything's front-facing. They make sure that Stone is facing forward. It is a, I think it's a very direct attempt to maybe like just follow on from Stone's success. Now, I know some people hate Stone. I don't like him as much as I used to, but that's just a beer thing. Greg is very engaging. I've met him. He's a funny guy. He looks homeless, and he looks more homeless now than when I saw him. But he's super smart. He's super funny. Very engaging, very charismatic. You know, they've worked hard. And the way copyright infringement works, I mean, if you don't defend it, you lose it, right? So we've seen this happen before. If you referenced brewers suing brewers, it wasn't small suing big, but we had Magic Hat number 9 sued West 6 from Kentucky a couple years ago over a 6 looking like a 9. Of all things, all those people need to have sex more.
I would say Jimi Hendrix is rolling in his grave somewhere.
Right. So I think they have a case because I think the branding bears it out. I think that any copyright lawyer worth his salt will be able to take that in front of a judge and just say, look, fonts are similar. Branding has been placed just so where the key is tiny. The stone is huge. If you go look at a 24-ounce keystone, it literally is the entire top to bottom of the can, where his key barely covers midway through the
right.
The
it's like a third of it.
Right. So they're clearly pushing Stone, not Keystone. Now the fun thing for me about this is I think it's gonna. I mean, it could. You talk about bankrupting Stone. It could really hurt Miller Coors in the sense that they're gonna have to pull all that product back off of the market. They're gonna have to go and rebrand 100%. And then we released everything for a crappy beer that, yes, has high margins because it costs nothing to make and people, you know, pay $17. But what's going to happen is they'll pass that buck on to the consumers, and instead of being $17 for a 30-pack, it's going to be $22 for a 30-pack. And everyone will keep buying it because all the people who drink macro don't care, and they'll grumble a little bit for a week, but then they'll still go with it. So, because brand loyalty is a thing. But I think Stone has a very good case.
Okay. Joey, what about you? Can Stone win this lawsuit?
I don't think there won't be a lawsuit. No. For as much time, money, and effort that Greg put into that stupid-ass video, he probably could have spent that money to have his lawyer draw up a cease and desist letter, have it sent. And if he wanted to be really, really cool about it, he could probably hire some, like, mid-century scroll scribe type guy to walk into the floors here at 16th Street in Denver and read off the damn cease and desist letter. I'm not going to say it's a ruse, but it's something it's going to be easily sorted by a cease and desist letter. I don't think either side's going to want to spend the kind of money that's going to be necessary to see this shit in court. It's not going to happen. It's great marketing. It's great marketing. But there's just, at the end of the day, that's all that it is. It's really, really mm-hmm. cute. It really was.
Okay. I actually think that, first of all, the squirrel thing is hilarious, and I think it would have been totally baller and badass if Stone, instead of doing that, they carved a cease and desist letter in a stone and brought it to, yeah, exactly, put it on some stone tablets, have a guy that looks like Moses or something go and deliver it to MillerCoors headquarters. That's one thing. Here's another thing, and you guys, I think two out of the three of you brought up money. Well, we all know that MillerCoors, they have their team of lawyers. They're on staff. They, you know, they get their salary. They're paying them no matter what. I am willing to bet that whatever the lawyer is that's doing this for Stone is doing it pro bono, because I think they are going to win, and I think they are going to get paid. And that lawyers are probably licking their chops to say, we won't charge you anything, but we get a cut when you win, and because I think they do have a pretty strong case. So I don't think the money thing is really an issue, especially for Stone. They make money just because it's not Miller Coors money. They do have a lot of money. They're buying, like, minority stakes in smaller breweries left and right. So I don't think the money is a big deal for them. I think... so here, let me read the response from MillerCoors, because they sent a statement to Business Insider. This is the response. The This lawsuit is a clever publicity stunt with multi-camera, tightly scripted video featuring Stone's founder, Greg Koch. Since Keystone's debut in 1989, prior to the founding of Stone Brewing in 1996, our customers have commonly used Stone to refer to the Keystone brand, and we will let the facts speak for themselves in the legal process. So they think it's a publicity stunt. I think that it's somewhere between a publicity stunt and defending your copyright. So that's where I fall. Now, a couple of you guys brought up settling. Chad, in your opinion, if Stone settles, is that a win for Miller Coors? Is that a loss for Stone? Like, to me, if you're doing this, you don't settle. You go all the way, especially the way you came out with those guns firing. If you settle, does it look like you're weak or you're backing off or you weren't really serious about it and it was a publicity stunt and a money grab?
I agree. If they settle and they don't take this, you know, take this all the way to the show, it's not a win. It's not a win for anybody, really, because nothing was gained out of this. You know, there's a lot more to gain out of Stone winning against a big macro brewer, but if they settle, all they're doing is publicity stunt, getting their money, and walking away.
What about you, Chris? If it's a settlement, is it a loss for Stone? Does it make them look bad, worse?
No, because number one, it wouldn't be Stone settling, it'd be Miller Coors settling. So that's where Chad's a little off. Stone is the one bringing the suit, so it'd be Miller Coors settling, which I think if Miller Coors settles and has to rebrand, that shows it was a win for Stone. It proves them right. And maybe they didn't take it all the way to fruition, but it doesn't matter that they didn't because they made their point. They settled for, even if they don't get any money out of it, even if they just make them lose money by pulling their product and rebranding, that's a huge win for craft. That is a huge win for craft. And I think I kind of alluded to it a moment ago when you read the Business Insider reply. You know, I said that's the way copyright law works. If you don't defend it, you lose it. So bringing up the fact that you were using it since your fans were using it since 89, that doesn't mean anything. Because Stone came out in 96, 7 years later, but if you didn't bring suit against them for coming out and they copyrighted it, now they're defending it against you, that's the way copyright law works. You've now lost the right to defend your side. Doesn't matter who came first, it matters who defended it first.
Right. Chad, were you going to disagree?
Yeah, I just don't, it's not a win to me. They're just because they made them lose money, that it's going to be chump change to them. I mean, they're not going to stop it. They might get a cease and desist. They might alter the logo a little bit to add Key a little bit more prominently. But ultimately, Stone and the craft beer world doesn't get anything of it. Okay, yeah, they went after a macro and they forced them to settle out of court. Cool. What do we gain? Until they shut them down or put them in their place in a different way, it's not going to change the craft beer world or the macro beer world.
What about you, Joe? Do you think Stone's hoping for a settlement, or do you think they want to fight?
I don't think it even gets that far. Again, I think that the smart play from a business stance is that Stone should enjoy the additional units of Arrogant Bastard and IPA that have been moved because of this video, spend $3,000, file the cease and desist. Miller Coors, I think, will accept it, and they'll pull the Keystone items off the shelves, do the rebranding, and that's where your win's at. That's what you do. That's a smart play for Stone. It's a smart play for Miller Coors, too.
All right. I pulled up some I don't know if you guys – there's another podcast I listen to called Steal This Beer by the guy from Carton, Augie Carton, and John Hall, who's a longtime beer writer, and a couple of guys. A couple episodes ago, they had a beer lawyer on. His name was Brendan Palfreyman, and I thought it was one of the most interesting episodes they have ever done. And as soon as I found out about this story, I went and looked him up. I looked up his Twitter. I looked up, you know, his Facebook, see if he had any comments on it. And he gives some pretty good insight. He says, like any complaint, it's a very persuasive document. Things get a little murky when you get the answer to the complaint, but at first blush, it seems like a pretty decent case. So he thinks they've got a shot. He did mention a lot of the things that Chris was saying working at a liquor store. He says the same thing. In April of last year, MillerCoors announced on its blog that new packaging had a specific plan that plays up the Stone nickname. This marketing tactic is black and white, and Stone's filed complaint says as much, showing the images of Keystone cans with a bolded Stone. They position the 30 packs in liquor stores to say Stone. You know, it doesn't say Keystone. And this guy, who's, I guess, like the definitive voice in trademarking beer, says it's a pretty clear either stepping on the line or across the line. I'm on Good Beer Hunting, and he did some, some statements for them. So he thinks it's valid, and he thinks they got a good case. And I guess it sounds like MillerCoors is going to be, but their comments made it seem like they're ready to fight. Do you think that's just their good? They're trying to get into the good-natured ribbing of the craft beer industry, saying like, yeah, we'll see how the case plays out. But then their lawyers are going to look at them and be like, oh shit, maybe we should settle this because we're going to lose. Or I guess it's the same question three times. Do you think they're going to do it? But why would MillerCoors come back with a response like that if a lot of people can see it? It's pretty clear cut.
Bravado.
You think? You think they're trying to get into the, the craft beer game is pretty much big of this beef, like not even beef, like friendly, the Super Bowl bets and all this stuff. You think they think of themselves like that, like, oh, we're just another brewer playing the game? Or do you think this is a serious matter for them and it's, you know, we have to take a look at this carefully and we'll have, you know, I won't, no more comments until I see my lawyer.
I come from an obviously a myopic perspective. From the business case, you fight back because people that enjoy Keystone are thinking, yes, we're fighting back, I'm going to buy more product. Meanwhile, MillerCoors has stopped using the label. They're already going to pull the label. They're moving product they'd have to recall or pull off the shelves anyway. So you fight, and then you eventually, at the last 11th hour, 23rd hour, however you want to look at it, then you file your cease and desist. You say, or they get the cease and desist. They stop. They say they're not going to use the labels anymore, and then they're pulling, you know, maybe 30% or 20% or 10% of the items off the shelves instead of you know, the mass amounts that were out there as of the time of Greg's video. I don't remember if it was YouTube or Facebook or whatever you use. So, no, you right. fight it until the 11th hour. You get rid of that product, but otherwise it's lost. Otherwise you're not going to make any money off of it. The smart business play is you put on the cloak of fighting, if you will, and you move that product without replacing it, and you've already got your branding people in the background, your marketing folks, your color and design people that are already coming up with new packaging.
It's called the cloak of invisibility.
And you know what they're doing. If it's me, you know what I do. And for what it's worth, MillerCoors, I know if you guys are listening right now, you're more than welcome to contact me. But if it's me right now, I do my rebranding. I get a hold of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I just drop something real goddamn heavy. That's what I do. And all of a sudden, the new product's flying off the shelves. You get a couple blips in terms of the product movement, and they look like they're awesome because of everything that went on. And people completely forget about what's going on with Stone Brewing. That's what I would do.
I don't even know if they could do that because their trademark is Keystone. Keystone, not Stone. It's Keystone. So, like, anytime they use the word Stone without the word key, Stone is going to make a – they're going to make a number.
Key's there, though.
Yeah,
key is very prominent. Yeah. It's still there.
You rebrand,
so you say, like,
and now
you,
it's key,
Keystone Cold?
You get Steve Austin coming out saying he's Keystone Cold, and that's
and
what
he
does. That's
and
it.
He smacks two above his head and pours them on his face.
30 rack or whatever.
Yeah, he does a 30 pack 15 at a time. Nothing. Two at a time, 15 in a row. Over his head.
Edward 15.
Passes
him.
Out.
Nice.
Passes out.
All right. Well, I think this is interesting stuff. To me, this is a fun little thing. I guess we'll see how it plays out. I'm sure it's going to be months until we hear something, or at least weeks. I don't know about months, because especially. You know, you got summer months coming up. I'm sure Stone is like, hey, you know, every day that goes by, they're infringing on our copyright. So, cool. All right, so let's go a little bit more lighthearted and a little bit more feel good. This is one that's a home state story for me. Melavito Meanery is from New Jersey. I am not a mead guy. I'm sorry, Melavito. I'm sorry, Sergio Mutella, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. There was a big story in NewJersey.com, which I think one of you sent to me or I sent to you guys. I forget. But Melavito Meanery, this guy goes to bed on, I don't know, maybe last Friday night or Thursday night. He wakes up in the morning, and his Facebook page, Melavito Meanery, has 101-star reviews, and his average rating plummeted. And it turned out that he was attacked by bots. The New Jersey.com story said Russian bots. I don't know. I guess they looked into it. But, yeah, his business rating was terrible. It went from 4.8 to 4.5 to like way down, and he said it was hurting his business. So then, you know, the twist of the story is, so he decided to fight back, and then ended up, you know, he you know, there was a whole bunch of weird legal stuff, like Facebook you can't do anything about ratings if they don't have a written review. So what he did was he would just he reported all the accounts to Facebook as possible spam or whatever, fake accounts. And what really helped his business and what helped him get through it was all he did was post like, hey, this happened to me. And the community just overwhelmed his page with 5-star reviews. And he got his rating back up again, closer to, you know, 5-star average. So, you know, this is a feel-good story for me. And this is just another thing. Like, it's funny that the Full Pint was saying, oh, you know, it was hacked by bots. And everyone's like, no. Meanwhile, this guy actually was hacked by bots, and he kept his cool. He did what anyone who has half a brain would do. And he said, hey, listen, I need some help. This really isn't fair. If you guys want to help out. And the community did him a big solid. Chad, what did you think of this story when I sent it to you when you read it?
Yeah, I definitely, and I don't, I didn't get to see the follow-up of if they figured out exactly who did it. I did go to his page and see, you know, a lot of foreign names, a lot of names of squiggly lines, and, and that was the one thing, how they got around it, is they didn't leave a comment, they just left a rating, and that's the only thing that Facebook can't remove, or you cannot actually go and, report that review. You'd have to go and report the profile, which would take you hours. But then, oddly enough, you know, what was it, like half a day later, all the reviews changed from 1s to 5s. I mean, so it completely flipped the script. And I do, you know, the most uplifting about this is the way that the beer community responded. And we've talked about this before in other events, but the beer community definitely responded in the positive for him. And, you know, as the owner, I would feel very, very gracious and happy that this community, you know, that I have these loyal fans, that these people liked me enough to care, to take some time out of their day to give that, you know, to give that review, to make sure that my business doesn't suffer. So, you know, it was a crappy situation turned into an awesome situation. And, you know, most breweries could hope for that. You know, nobody wants to get hit, but the way that the community responded, you know, that's probably a brewer's dream. That would be my dream as a business owner.
Yeah. Chris, what about you? Was this a feel-good story of the month? Did this make up for the Full Pint mishap? Did this restore your faith?
Of the month? You mean the week? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. You know, first of all, yes, it's a feel-good story. I'm glad the little guy and the good guy came out a winner. But really, it's just, you know, it's fermented hot water bee puke, so I don't really care that much about it.
So not a mead guy.
Not really. I mean,
all right.
It's not brewing. It's not brewing at all. It's fine. I can have 2 ounce pours of it and be okay. And I'm glad my wife will enjoy some while I drink some beer. But And yeah, of course I love Stadium Little Guy.
Right.
You know, win against, you know, it feels like a movie, right? The little guy had a tough time and felt oppressed by the big guy and box and Russia and all that. We had to throw Russia.
I was going to say,
it's the buzzword of the.
Apparently, they're the only country in the world that has this technology that can do this.
Yeah, have you ever seen pictures of Russia? Like, those guys are waiting in lines for bread, and they're still killing each other, like political assassinations. And we're talking them of like computer corruption. How about China? Like that seems more in line with like computer hacking. But like,
right, and they're right next to Russia. They could be onto something. Have you ever seen pictures of Russia? Have you ever seen videos of Russia? The people, the stuff that people do over there. These people in their car videos and the road rage.
Yes, I love it.
It's total mayhem. Joey, what about you? Do you like it? Do you hate it? It's a nothing burger because it's Jersey. What do you think?
I think at this point it's a feel good story, and that's where we're at. These types of things happen. And it's not specific to Sergio and his mead. It happens. So it's been resolved, or at least somehow. So I guess resolved. But it's going to happen. I mean, it's the perils of social media, man. We rely too heavily on people and their thoughts, and you hear about you. The story was the story, and if you were wondering how bad the mead was, you probably should have tried to trade for it or ordered it from Malavino. So it is what it is. I just wanted to make a Mother Russia joke. I'm still trying to work on one. I think Mother Russia, Facebook rate,
yeah.
Facebook rate you. Is that what it is in Mother Russia? Facebook rate you.
Well, one last thing I will say about this. He posted a sarcastic apology on his page saying, hey, thanks for whoever hacked me, you know, whatever. Cause it really brought the community together and it showed me, you know, that there is good. He got a death threat on that post from someone. The post got an immediate response, a death threat from someone claiming to be a Navy SEAL with more than 300 confirmed kills. Anytime, you know, that was probably a giveaway right there that you're not a Navy SEAL with 300 confirmed kills if you're telling people on Facebook you are. But he took it seriously, contacted the cops. The cops found out who this guy was who posted it and went to his house and said, listen, you interact with Malavino or this guy again and you're getting arrested. So that's where we're at.
Did they go to his house or was he in his mom's basement?
Oh, well, exactly. Wherever the IP address was, I assume. But yeah, actually, Chad made a good point too, that he brought up all this that happened to Facebook. He said, hey, look, I got all these bad ratings. And they're like, oh, you know, there's nothing we can do. He like contacted their business help team or their advertising team. And they're like, well, you know, there's nothing we can do because it's this type of rating and we don't have any access to this type of rating. But then almost instantly they all disappeared. So apparently Facebook has this penchant for saying they can't do something. And then I guess clearly they can do whatever they want. Like anytime they say we can't do something, that is just an outright lie. But I guess eventually they did the right thing without telling the guy, because he said, you know, the next thing he knew, all the fake ones were erased, and he said, I don't believe in coincidences, so I guess they made good by it, and that's, I like what Joey said, that's the downside of the social media, that
indeed
world that
is.
We live in.
Indeed it is.
All right, we got time for some more things. Do we have a new members list? Is that something?
I have it right in front of me. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm glad you said yes. Let's give some new members a shout out.
Gotcha. I appreciate that. I can't remember if we left off with Alan Rogers last week or not, but Alan Rogers will start our list tonight. We also have Cynthia Leopold Alejos. I believe that's how you pronounce her name. If I ask for an extra syllable in there, I apologize. I want to welcome back David Clowett. Mr. Clowett, if you happen to listen to this, it's always great to see you. Appreciate the conversations we've had via Messenger. We got Chris Garcia, Eric Vogt was added last week. I think Chad knows him. I believe he's the brewer owner at Burning Foot. Is that right, Chad?
That's correct.
All right, I appreciate that. And then last but certainly not least for this week, we've got Woody Bond.
Ooh, Woody Vaughn. Was the first name you said Aaron Rodgers?
Alan Rodgers.
Oh,
no, not the,
oh my God.
Not the second greatest quarterback playing in the NFL right now. No, not the second greatest, but Alan Rodgers.
Got it. Behind Andrew Luck, right?
Behind Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, actually, yeah.
I'll take it.
That's a joke. That's a joke, stud.
Nick Foles. too soon?
Yeah. We can go down. We'll talk about Nick Foles and go down a different path, but we'll have nothing to do with beer. So,
yeah. All right. We've been on for 50 minutes. Has anyone opened a second beer?
I am still number one.
No. Wow. You have? You're not drinking the wine cooler anymore?
No, I got about through half of that, and I got diabetes and cut a foot off, and I started with beer.
Oh, man. So, what are you working with?
I have now got a Cycle Brewing Crowler Hazelnut Cream and Sugar Porter. Yes, mediocre.
Chad, you still on that one that you opened before the show?
Yep, I'm nursing this bad baby.
Nice, me too. I'm actually almost done and about to open another one, and I'm deciding right now on. I know you guys are hating on the Bolero Snort when I saw you guys chug the one. But they just come out with one that I really like. It's one of the best ones they do all year. They brew it for Valentine's Day. So they have this line of creamsicle IPAs to do, you know, lactose and vanilla beans and all that stuff. They do an orange one, OVB, and the labels look like the old creamsicle pops that you get from the ice cream truck. It's a cool beer. The OVB is great. I love that beer. That's like a summer beer. But they do one for Valentine's Day with strawberry, and it's called SVB. And it's the same thing, but they use strawberry puree. And I really, really like it. I'm a sucker for strawberries. I like IPAs. I like lactose. I like vanilla beans, all that stuff. So I'm going to crack that in about a minute as soon as I finish the rest of this Strange Claw.
Boy.
Is there any way to do a weight loss challenge update?
Yeah, I got it right in front of me as well.
Excellent. Man, you're on top of this guy. He didn't even start the show at home, and he's got everything right here, the liner notes. That's a pro.
Brother, it's what we do. We're people helping people. This is what we do. Got to have the break. Breaking is right in front of us, right?
Yeah.
So weight loss challenge update. We are weigh-in 5 is going to be tomorrow – technically morning, but sometime tomorrow people will be weighing in for week 5 of 8. Leading the singles bracket, I think it's technically a bracket, we've got Will Miller, who's just been, and pardon my language, fucking dominating the weight loss challenge. Dude's down 40 pounds, and well, right now, but 4 weeks, so 10 pounds a week for the first 4 weeks. It's dropped from just a skosh over 302 down to a skosh over 262. Dude's been absolutely crushing it. The nice part about it is that Will kind of fell off the WLC wagon this week, so he might be a little flat this week, but we'll see what happens. David Moore's catching up on him. David's been doing very, very well. And of course we've got another, I think it's somewhere around 22 other folks in the singles bracket that are competing and doing very, 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 very well. In the couples brackets, We got Team Whiting actually leading. It'd be Greg and his wife. And Greg, a quick shout out to Greg. Greg is the owner brewer over at Hightower. Greg and his wife are doing fantastic. They've actually combined, and this is not a slight, combined they've lost as much weight as Will Miller. So that definitely says something about how well Will's been doing. John and his wife, I believe Beth, are in second, and they're closing in. I'm going to shout out to my partner. I'm in the couples bracket as well. Little C and I have we started off kind of slow. We were cellar dwellers for the first couple weeks, but now right now we're about in the middle of that group, and I think we're going to make a move this week. I think we're going to end up. Hopefully we can jump a couple spots. But yeah. So weight loss challenge, we've got week 5 coming up here tomorrow, week 5 weigh-ins, and then 3 weeks after that, and we'll be all finished. And then, of course, Drama Free will kind of go back to the ways of old. Probably actually a little blip. All these people probably doing chug videos and burning down the fort and everything else. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Great job. Great job, everyone who's doing that. You guys are killing it, giving everyone else inspiration. I really do give you guys a lot of credit, everyone who's in it, everyone who's staying with it. You got to do this every once in a while. You know, take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Beer, is, as fun as it is, it's actually not that good for you. So mentally, yes, but physically, no. So keep on keeping on. I think we have an idea for a podcast, Spirit Forward. Who wants to take it? Chris?
Yeah, we're working on a couple different things with a couple different members. Daniel Vick has an idea that we're going to kind of flesh out over the next week or so. You know, I did one this last week when the podcast ended. I basically went and grabbed a beer. I did a video, didn't say it was a Biff. You had to watch the video to find out it was a Biff. Josh Buck won that. He got his box today. So, you know, we always want feedback and we want listeners. We want you guys to tell us what you want out of the podcast. I mean, it doesn't mean we're not listening to you, but we still want to hear it. So, you know, give us feedback, listen, call in. If we can't talk for 20 minutes with you, you know, we'll at least try to give you a minute or two to weigh in on a topic. But we're going to do some future Biffs based on listening. So we'll work that out in our little group chat over the next week or so. But yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
I love it. I've been thinking we should do this for a while. It's really a good way to engage, get some people some good beer, and, you know, up the listeners, see if we're doing anything worth a damn. Chad, why don't you close this out with something? Don't try not to give too much away, but you know, you guys did such a good job last week, and we had a pretty big, the best IPA brewer in the country on our podcast. So apparently, you guys did such a good job that we got some more coming up. Can you just talk about it real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I did make a post in Drum Free, and we've got a list running of some brewers, professional brewers, and brewery owners. I as well have gone out to some other breweries locally to me, and I'm encouraging, you know, all my fellow co-hosts here to do the same. But we do have a surprise coming up later. In the next couple of months, we're working out some details, but we're gonna start talking to some major breweries across the country here, and I'm really excited for these segments. I think, and Chris has said this a few times, I think we're gonna try to do this every other week. That way, we don't, you know, get burnt out on talking to people, and also so that we don't fly through the list. Yeah, we got some exciting things coming up. We also got some exciting, besides just the Biff that Butler was pointing out. We're also in the group chat. We're talking about some other ideas as well. So, you know, you guys stay tuned. We appreciate you guys listening. And, you know, we're finally in a position. We're averaging about 200 to 300 listeners a week. And that number keeps growing every week. I'm seeing the trend where we're starting to get a lot of traction, and we appreciate you guys listening, sticking with us, sticking with me through my drunken rambles sometimes. And, you know, we definitely appreciate you guys, and we're going to start to really show it and give back.
Yep. It's never been a better time to be a drama-free listener. I love it. I love what we got coming down the pipeline. I liked tonight. I liked last week. And I think it's been about 55 minutes. I think it's about as good time as ever to call if anyone else has anything else to say. Speak now. Otherwise, cheers. And until next week, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for listening, as always. We appreciate you. We appreciate you indulging us, our famous fantasy. We plan to get rich within about 18 months, and we won't forget you guys and girls that helped us along our way. So, yeah, thanks for helping us be known today.
Sweet, Joey.
Like, same thing I always say, fellas. Be well.
Be well. All right. Yeah, I agree with everything Chris said. Thanks for listening. You guys rock. We're going to get the beer forwards out. We're going to, you know, we're going to get it rocking out there. What's so funny? What am I doing?
This is what you said. Sweet, Joey.
whatever. You know. We ended on top. We ended on a high note. What do you want me to say? I'm smiling. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, all. Chad, I guess, take us out.
All right, guys, you know the drill. Leave us some feedback in the comments. Look out for the post. Look out in the beer community. Get us some content. You know, we truly like talking about what you guys want to hear. We can't come up with content ourselves sometimes, or else it's just me and Butler fighting like two brothers. So give us some comment. Hit us up in the comments. I love you, Butler. You know that. But hit us up in the comments. Give us some feedback. If we're doing something you guys want to hear or change, you know, let us know. Well, we're definitely open to suggestions, and how can we change it? I know this is, what, our 19th episode? And, you know, we get better and better every time. So we want to, you know, we want to do what you guys want to do and talk about what you want to hear. So let us know. And as always, Drama Free, be well, be safe. I'm going to keep stealing Joey's line here. But it's such a perfect line. So see you guys later. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Drama Free Podcast. Save the drama for your mama.